In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Yesterday we spoke about friendship. If your friend leads you to Jesus, keep that friend. If your friend makes you apart from Jesus, dump them. It's just the way it is. And the same thing with people that you're going out with. If you're going out with someone that doesn't lead you to Jesus, just throw them away. Give them to God. Oh, I'll change them, you say. Yeah, you'll change them, all right. They can't change themselves. They need Jesus. So I tell you, these four men, let the pallet go down in front of Jesus. They were four men who brought the paralytic to Jesus. They were real friends. Jesus forgave the man's sins and healed his body. You see, this is the power of God working through friends. I thank God for the people that are around me, that pray for me, that love me. I thank God because, you know what, I couldn't do it without them. Chapter 2, verse 13, Jesus went out again beside the sea, and the whole crowd gathered around him, and he taught them. Jesus teaches them because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do you want to increase your faith? Then get into the Gospels. Read them, eat them, sleep with them. Know that these words of Jesus, empowered by the Spirit, will give you the power to do great things. And he taught them. I wonder what he taught to the crowds. Usually he gets into a boat and pushes the boat out a little and teaches from the boat. Why? Because the crowd was crushing in on him. So, as he was walking along the seashore, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at his tax booth. This is a tax collector. This is a Jewish man working for Rome. He was despised. He was despised by the people. And he said to him, "Follow me." That's all Jesus said to Levi, "Follow me." And he got up and followed Jesus. Jesus's command from his eyes, from his powerful mouth, "Follow me," that's all he needed to say to Levi, who was a tax collector, a Jew working for Rome, despised. But Jesus did not despise him. Jesus has come to seek and save that which was lost. Are you lost today? Well, Jesus came for you. If you're lost today, Jesus came for you. You just have to call out to him, "Jesus, save me." And as he sat at dinner in Levi's house, so Levi has a party, many tax collectors and sinners were also sitting with Jesus and his disciples. Levi has a party. He invites all his friends, and he invites Jesus. For there were many who followed him. When the scribes and the Pharisees saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they said to the disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard this, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick I have come to call, not the righteous, but sinners." I tell you, Jesus comes to call sinners. Why? Because he loves people. He does not want people to go to hell. He goes to the cross so that we might not go to hell. This was a party that Levi had. I wonder what Jesus preached around the table. And I could see all the eyes are on Jesus, fixed on Jesus. They had heard how Levi was changed when he met Jesus. and they're all needy, and they're all poor. The Pharisees despised them, but Jesus didn't despise anybody. If you had an abortion, Jesus doesn't despise you. He wants to heal you. And by God's grace, you will see your baby in heaven. But no more. No more. No more. Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. The people came and said to Jesus, "Why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus said to them, "The wedding guests cannot fast while the bridegroom is with them." So Jesus calls himself the bridegroom. As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them in the ascension, and then they will fast on that day. I tell you, we have a bridegroom, and you know who the bride is. You're part of the bride. The church is the bride. But we need to listen to Jesus. We need to do the things Jesus told us to do. We need to be in the world, but not of the world. Oh yes, we need the Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us into all truth. Jesus is the truth. The Holy Spirit leads us to Jesus Christ. This is the time for us to break away from the things of the world. You know, buying those tickets, what good are those tickets? You're looking for $1 million. I tell you, you're not going to find it. You're not going to find it. Give your life to Jesus. Be like Levi. Invite people into your home. Have a Bible study. You say, "Well, I don't know about the Bible." Well, start with John's Gospel and just people share passages and what it means to them. It's so important. It's so important. No one sews a piece of unshrunken cloth on an old cloak. Otherwise, the patch pulls away from it, and the new from the old, and a worse tear is made. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, because the wine ferments, and the wine is lost. And so are the skins. But one man puts new wine into fresh wineskins. I tell you, the fresh wineskins is the skins of grace. The old wineskins are the skins of the law. You cannot put the Holy Spirit in the law, but you can put the Holy Spirit in the wineskins of grace. Oh yes, how we need grace to carry us through the day. How we need grace to love Jesus. How we need grace to follow him and not have any conditions. I just follow him by the grace of God and with no compromise. I remember a young man coming to me. He's a priest now, and he came to see me. And the only thing he remembered that I said was, "Do not compromise. Do not compromise. Do not compromise. It's easy to compromise." Well, you know what? I've been following Jesus for a long time, and you know, I'm getting old, or I'm getting whatever, and I don't need to be seeking him the way I used to seek him. That's a lie, and it doesn't come from God. Let's continue. On a Sabbath day, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to Jesus, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And Jesus said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was the high priest, and he ate the bread of presence, which it is not lawful for anyone but the priest to eat, and he gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man.'" That's right. The Sabbath was made for man so that we would rest, not man for the Sabbath. "So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. You see? Jesus is Lord of the temple. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus is Lord. He is the Lord. He is God Almighty. He is true God and true man. Then we have chapter 3. Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath. That these people just are looking for an excuse to put him in jail or to kill him. You know, what's he going to do? Jesus sees the man with the withered hand. What's he going to do? He has compassion for the man. He has compassion for you. What's he going to do? He's going to heal the man. And what are the Pharisees going to say? You did it on the Sabbath. It's crazy. It's crazy. They should have a rejoicing party that a man with a withered hand was made whole, and they saw it. Let's continue. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent, yes, they were silent. They're hypocrites. They knew the answer. They knew the answer that it was lawful to do good on the Sabbath. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at the hardness of their hearts. The hardness of the hearts of the Pharisees and the tax collectors' people. Not the tax collectors, the hardness of the heart of the Pharisees and the scribes. He was grieved. If your heart is heavy and broken, he wants to heal it. If you've got a heart of stone, he wants to take it away from you and give you a heart of flesh instead. Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against Jesus, how to destroy him. They should have had a party, but they want to destroy Jesus. Why? Because he healed on the Sabbath. I remember at Holy Rosary many years ago, this scripture was read, and there was a man who had taken a stroke. And after the scripture was read, I said, "Move your arm quickly." And he moved his arm. He couldn't do that. And he fell to the floor, and he was shaking. And God had healed his arm. It was stiff, and it was paralyzed, but now it wasn't. But when he went for occupational therapy, the person said that was impossible to happen. Well, it happened. And he lost his healing. He lost his healing. I remember saying to the congregation, "How many saw that he moved his arm that night?" And the congregation raised their hands. But you see, he listened to the occupational therapist, said that that's impossible. Let me tell you, nothing is impossible with God. You are not God's impossible case. I am not God's impossible case. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Jesus departed with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him. Why? They're hurt. They need to be healed. They need to be taught. They started to come after him. There were no doctors that could really help people during those days. They would bleed them. But Jesus Christ would heal them. And so crowds would follow him. Crowds would come from all around, and even different countries, to follow him, because they heard about what Jesus was doing. Hearing all that he was doing, they came to him in great numbers from Judea, from Jerusalem, from Idumea, and beyond the Jordan, and the region of Tyre and Sidon. They came from every place. They need a touch from Jesus. Do you need a touch from Jesus? I do. I told them last night, I need a touch from you. I don't want to become lukewarm. I need a touch from you. I need a touch from you, Jesus. I want you to touch me in a deeper way. and I will continue to do what you call me to do, because you have given me instructions to preach the word in season and out of season, when convenient and inconvenient. And he told his disciples to have a boat ready for him, because the crowds were so great that they would want to crush him, for he had cured many, so that all who had diseases pressed upon him just to touch him. Whenever the unclean spirit saw Jesus, it fell down before him and shouted, "You are the Son of God." But Jesus sternly ordered the unclean spirit not to make him known. No demon is going to make Jesus known, but the children of God will make Jesus known. The children of God, those who love him, will make him known. Do you love him today? Do you love him today? Do you know that he loves you and that he is calling you for this moment to give your life to him? Do you know that? Do you know that the crowds followed Jesus? It's like that still. Have a healing service and people come out of the woodwork to go because they're hurt. They've gone to the doctors. The doctors can't help them, especially with diseases of the mind. But Jesus can heal the sick. He can heal depression. He can heal. He can heal. Does that mean you don't take your medicine? You only drop your medicine when the doctor tells you to. That's when you drop it. Not until. Let's continue. Jesus went up the mountain and called to him those whom he loved. Oh my. Are you part of those people? He loves you. So he's calling you. And they came to him. And he appointed 12, whom he also named as apostles, to be with him, to be sent out to proclaim the message, the kingdom of God, and to have authority to cast out demons. So he appointed 12. Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, he's always first, Peter. James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, the brother of James, to whom they gave the number Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder. Remember, they wanted to call down the lightning upon people that would not listen. They were not Jews. They were other kinds of people, and they did not listen to Jesus. And you know what? They wanted to call down lightning. Jesus said, "You don't know what spirit you belong to." And Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew, the tax collector, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. We do not want to betray Jesus with a kiss. We do not want to betray Jesus at all. Have you betrayed Jesus? When I sin, I betray him. How do I not sin? I ask the Holy Spirit to keep me from sin. But if I sin, I have the blood of Jesus that washes away my sin. I go to confession and I get healed and I get under the blood. Jesus and Beelzebub. Then he went home. Where's home? Peter's house. And the crowd came together again so that they could not even eat. They could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him. For people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." That's his family, the brothers and sisters, which are cousins of Jesus. Thinking that Jesus has gone out of his mind, all these people are following him. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebub, and he is ruled by the ruler of demons. And he cast out demons by Beelzebub. And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand." I tell you, what about Catholics and Protestants? My enemy is not the Protestant people. My enemy is the devil. The Protestants who love Jesus are my brothers and sisters. They are my brothers and sisters. Yes, and we are part of the same house, the body of Christ. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one enters a strong man's house and plunders his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin, for they had said he has an unclean spirit. What is this blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? It's not accepting forgiveness until the end, even at the end, saying, I don't want forgiveness. I don't need forgiveness. I remember a woman that I prayed with for many hours, and I just said, just say Jesus. And she said, no, I don't want him. Until she died, she was like that. And the only thing I could do was say, Jesus, have mercy on her. She doesn't know what she's saying. She doesn't know what she's doing. Have mercy on her. That's all I could say. And I could leave it in the hands of Jesus. We continue, verse 31. Then his mother and his brothers came. These are the cousins of Jesus. And standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him. And they said to him, your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you. And he replied, who are my mother and who are my brothers? And looking at those who sat around him, he said, here are my mother, my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my mother, my brother, and my sister. Are you a brother of Jesus? Do you do the will of God? Oh, yes. When I was growing up, I was taught always to want the will of God. When I was looking into the seminary, I would tell the Lord, I want your will. Open the door to the place that you want me to be. Close every other door and do it very silently. Do not bang it in my face. So we thought about the will of God. I remember when I was going to teach at St. Pius V school, I prayed that if this was the will of God, that God would open up the grade for me that was grade 6. And you know, he did. He opened grade 6 up for me. This is important, to desire the will of God, because in his will is our peace. In his will is our peace. What is the will of God? That no one who comes to me, Jesus said, will I ever reject. That's part of the will of God. No one is rejected. What else is the will of God? Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. Yes, the living bread of life is the will of God, to eat and drink the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I do need to hear from people so that we can pay December's bills and wrap it up. Wrap up 2017. So please help us as the Lord leads you. Also, you can make a gift on PayPal, www.inseason.net, and you go to PayPal. I'm very appreciative of the people who have helped me during the Christmas letter. I cannot do this work without you. You are fellow heirs of the kingdom, and you support God's work. And I say thank you, thank you, thank you, and thank you again. And may Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.